verses 38 to 42, and can be found on page 1042 of the church Bibles. Or wherever it is on your phone. Or you can just listen to my dulcet tones. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God bless us at reading from his word. Amen. This is a famous passage that, frankly, I've always had issues with. I don't know whether I'm the only person who's always had issues, but no, I'm not. Thank you very much, Karen. Me and Karen have always had issues with this passage. It's a bit odd because it looks like sitting around doing nothing is better, and etc. And Martha is told off for looking after Jesus, which actually is a big contradiction. You see, we should read this passage. You know, the verses didn't come in and the splitting up. Chapters and verses didn't come into like the 11th century. So they're quite a modern invention. So it's not like they were always there. It was a book or a letter and it was whole. And of course, as we know, just before the story of Mary and Martha is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which sounds like, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, well, actually, you can't just walk around with your head in the clouds being all lost and aloof and learning. Sometimes you have to get off your backside and do something for people. And just before that, we have Jesus sending out the 72 out into the world to go and preach the good news that the kingdom of God is near. And he says to them, in that, he says, just accept whatever hospitality is given to you, because that will be a blessing, and you will be a blessing to them. Isn't that lovely? But it sounds like here, Jesus is saying, if you offer hospitality, that's wrong. Do you see the problem? When we take it as a whole, it becomes a little bit more, even more confusing than when we just read it on its own. And we have people, and the whole Martha-Mary debate, we have people, and I've listened to sermons and I've read commentaries that have just eviscerated Martha. Poor woman. She's just trying to do it, like look after someone. And they've gone, well, it's because she just wants salvation by works. That's not at all what it's saying in the passage. But they've absolutely gone to town on her. Isn't Mary fantastic? She is lost in love and wonder, and she's listening to Jesus sat at his feet. And isn't that great? Both are okay. Both are good things. It is good to serve before I lose the entire coffee rota. It is good to serve, okay? It is good to do things for other people. It is good to make sure that if someone comes into your house, you at least offer them a cup of coffee. It is good to welcome people and to look after people. It's good to give up your time so that others might be able to flourish. And it's also good to focus on Jesus Christ. To have that opportunity to sit at the master's feet and hear from him. Now, Vicky is a teacher. We will pray for her later, obviously. But Vicky is a teacher, and I'm sure Vicky will back me up on this, and Rosemary as well, as a former teacher, and if Liz were in the room, she would back me up as well. As a teacher, you would love it if your children sat quietly at your feet, full stop, and listened and, you know, just focused on you entirely. But you have absolutely no idea whether they've taken any of it on board until they put it into practice. So in the school where Vicky is a teacher is St. Michael's, and I go in there regularly, and the school has three values, which are love, respect, and compassion. Well done. Love, respect, and compassion, which are all really similar, and I don't quite know how we ended up with three things that are so interchangeable. But in Open the Book every week, I try and get the kids to pick out where they've seen love, respect, and compassion, and there's all, and the same hands go up every week, and one particular child essentially tells me that all of them were in there, although I'm not sure all of them in that particular story, but there you go. And then I get a really left field one, where they say, I think it showed compassion. Why? I think it showed compassion. Good. And I think it was lovely. Oh, and the one we had the other week where we were doing Paul getting shipwrecked. This was fantastic. I don't know whether you're in for this. Paul got shipwrecked. And in order to save this from the shipwreck, we chucked the stuff over the side. Just in the story. It was great. So what did we learn? What values did we see in our... Well, we didn't see any respect. Why? Littering. You littered the ocean by chucking all the stuff overboard. We're like, we were gonna sink. You littered. We're like, okay, sorry. So you never quite know what they're going to say and pick up on. But there we are. But the point is that actually, unless you do both, it's pointless. We've all heard the story about the expression of they're so heavenly bound, they're no earthly use. I know several people like that, grew up with one in particular. But they would spend all their time trying to, they knew their Bible. It was absolutely fantastic. They could quote you chapter and verse. They would go to every single Christian spiritual experience they could get to. It was great. Did they do anything? No. But there is a problem with Martha. And that is that Martha has become distracted. Martha has become distracted. She's not focused on the fact that she's with Jesus. And she's lost sight of what she's doing it for. I mean, Jesus just says to her, look, we don't need so much. Just one thing is necessary. People read that in relation to Mary sitting at his feet. It doesn't have to be at all. I mean, he's talking to Martha. He says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Calm down. I don't need a buffet for thousands. There's only me and the other 12. It's okay. You know, just calm down. And you know what? If you just give me a glass of water, that's okay. Did you see what I did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Martha? Do you remember that bit? Does anyone? You know, there's a wonderful joke in Mark's gospel which always makes me giggle, and we've kind of translated it out. And it's this. Jesus is on a boat with his disciples, and he says to them, beware the yeast of the Pharisees. And they go, He's saying this because we haven't brought enough bread. And Jesus hears them. And he says, right, when I fed the 5,000, how many baskets were left over? 12, Lord. Excellent. And when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets were left over? 7, Lord. Do you think I'm worried about bread? You see, wherever Jesus is, he is the host. He can provide. There is nothing that Martha can do that Jesus couldn't provide. Sometimes when we're in the presence of Jesus, we need to sit down, shut up, listen and learn. And sometimes we need to go out and we need to serve. And sometimes we can end up like Martha. Not that what we're doing is wrong, but what we're doing is being done for the sake of being done. We've forgotten why we're doing it. We have burnout in churches. We can have burnout in ministers. I was talking with a minister recently who basically had got to the point where they wanted to tell everyone to go away and leave them alone. The grind of having to get up and deal with another sermon that no one's listening to. I know how it feels, but another sermon that no one's listening to, picking hymns that he was just going to get criticized for, going through the motions of ministry. A ministry, if you want the actual word, it just means servant or service. That's all a minister is. Minister and deacon are two of the same word. A deacon is a servant from the Greek. Minister is from the Latin. It just means the same thing. The prime minister should be the main servant. That could cause a few issues, but there you go. But the point is that you can, all of us can get to the point where we are just exhausted and we've forgotten why we're doing what we're doing. I don't know about you, but I've watched people just be so obsessed with their little part to the point where they get upset that other people aren't noticing. Did you notice what I did? What's Martha say? Can't you see, Jesus, that I'm doing all the work? And she's just tell her to help me. It's not what she's supposed to do. And you don't have to do as much as you want to. We can make areas in church life and we can make areas in our own life into, frankly, sacred cows. And there was a brilliant book written with a great title saying, Sacred Cows Make the Best Burgers. Okay? We can make things that they are completely untouchable. And this is what I do. This is my bit. And therefore, you will be grateful and you will appreciate me. But why are you doing it in the first place? The reason Martha is doing it is because she wants to be a good disciple. She wants to look after Jesus and to serve Jesus. That is a perfectly okay thing to be doing. But she's got so distracted with the thing that she's doing that she's forgotten Jesus. And how many of us do that? My minister friend has forgotten that he was doing it for Jesus. He thought he was doing it all in his own strength. He sat there going, I've done all this work and they don't appreciate it. Okay. I imagine they do, occasionally. But actually that's not the point. It's not about what you've done. It's about who you're doing it for. You know, I'm really good, as you will know, at beating myself up. It's one of my greatest gifts. You don't need to tell me what was wrong with my sermon. I could give you a list longer than you've thought of about what's wrong. And I have a tendency to find the negative. Someone said to me, my NAM mentor said to me, Paul, you have a tendency to allow the negative to dive deeper than the positive. He said 12 people could walk past you and tell you that was the most amazing sermon they'd ever heard. One person tells you they didn't like the third hymn, and that's it, you're beating yourself up because you didn't pick the right hymn for that particular person and all the rest of it. And so I have to make sure that I'm not doing this about me. And we all have to do that in the service that we do within the church. Imagine if when you went down for coffee later, and it'd be good to say thank you to the people who do coffee, but if you went down to coffee later and Liz is there pouring out the coffee going, I'm pouring your coffee. Thank you would be good. I put this coffee on, by the way. I did that for you. Imagine you'd all feel really upset actually and a little bit uncomfortable. Do you want to be served by someone who's begrudging it and who wants you to see it? So Jesus says about Mary, she's chosen the better part and it's not going to be taken from her. Now there are two things here that we have to recognize. One is Mary is a woman and sat at the feet of a teacher, which is completely unheard of in Jewish society at that point. Women didn't get taught. Yet she's chosen and she's taken the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. She's gone, I'm grabbing this with both hands. It's not every day Jesus turns up in our house. It's not every day I get this opportunity. So I couldn't really care less about the dishes. They can wait till tomorrow when he's gone. I want to hear from him. I want to engage with him. Does that mean that Mary will never go out and serve? No. But there's a risk that Martha loses the opportunities to learn because she's just too busy. Now, this is not a criticism. Please don't hear it as a criticism. Okay? But it breaks my heart that during a baptismal service, I have people down in the kitchen not coming up to church because they're doing stuff for the kitchen. And I really don't want you to hear that as a criticism. Okay? But they should be here. We need to find a different way so that everyone can receive at the feet, not at the feet of the master, but you know what I mean, to receive and not feel they have to step out. I don't know how many of you have noticed in the last hymn, half the church, well not half the church, two or three people get up and go down to make sure the coffee's ready. They don't get to hear the last hymn. They don't get to hear my wonderful words of wisdom that are said at the end of a service. They don't get that because they're off to serve. And is that an expectation that we're putting on them or an expectation they're putting on themselves? I can wait for coffee. It's not a problem. I don't drink it anyway, so I can wait forever. But I can wait for that. That's not a problem. And I'm sure all of us, we could probably look at it and go, yeah, I could wait 2 minutes whilst they just potter around. Obviously not more than 2 minutes. Come on, seriously. Sort yourselves out. Serve better. But we could wait for those things. There was one point a few years ago, and thankfully it shifted, but a few years ago there was one point when I went in to pray before the service. And normally the deacons come in to pray with me. And I walk back out again, having prayed completely on my own. Because every single deacon was doing something else. And we were too busy to pray. So that's the first thing that Mary does, is that she breaks some conventions and she says, I'm going to grab this opportunity because Jesus is important. How many times have we put church to one side because actually we're doing something else that's a bit more important, or I've got to do this, or I've got to get the dinner on and all the rest of it. The other interesting thing is that if we read this in conjunction with the parable of the Good Samaritan, Mary does the same thing that the guy who's been beaten up does. She is prepared to be served. She humbles herself enough to sit at the feet of Jesus and to be served by him. Martha is busy serving. But here is an opportunity to engage with Jesus and be served. And that to me seems to be the crux of these two passages together. That we actually need to be prepared to humble ourselves and receive from Jesus. In whatever form that takes. He says to the 72 when he sends them out, take the hospitality that you receive. Don't think yourself better. Don't, when they come along with a much better offer, go, well, I'm going up the road because he's a billionaire and their food's better. No, just receive what I give you. Receive what is right. And how often do we not humble ourselves enough just to receive? And that's in all sorts of ways. It's not just at the feet of Jesus. How often do we not humble ourselves to receive from other people? I'm all right. Don't you worry about me. I'm all right. Yeah. I remember when I was at university holding the door open for a girl walking towards me, or a lady walking towards me with a pile of books. So I held the door open for her. Oh, the mouthful I got. You wouldn't believe. All I did was hold the door open. I was like, fine, she's got a load of books. Oh, how dare you, patriarchy and all that sort of rubbish. I was like, I just held the door open for you. What on earth? Oh, you're oppressing me because she's clearly a feminist. I didn't quite understand. But she just had a go at me. And I said to her, all right, I'll let it slam in your face next time. But I don't understand. I said, I'd have held the door open for anyone who was carrying a load of books. I'm not doing this because you're a woman. You go ahead, carry your books. But she couldn't humble herself enough just to receive someone holding a door open. But we all do things like that at times. But we need to be prepared to receive, and we need to admit in that point when we receive that we haven't got all the answers. And that we haven't got all of the abilities. So the Good Samaritan, the person who's been beaten up and lying on the floor, can't heal himself. He needs to be looked after. He needs someone who's going to pour oil on his wounds and pay for the, whatever the word, what's the word I want? It begins with re. Recuperation, that's what I want. They get and pay for the recuperation in the hotel. That's what he needs. And he needs to accept that. And it's a lot easier to accept that when you're broken and beaten, isn't it? You know, you're really good at that. We're probably, because you haven't got anything left to fight with. What about knowing all the answers? I started ministry at the age of 29. Officially. Before that, I was preaching from about the age of 25. Wow. Was that tough? I had people that I had known for years who couldn't hear me. They couldn't hear me because they were older and more experienced than me, and how dare I stand up in front of them and preach to them? Which was encouraging, as you can imagine. One particular person, every time I preached, would wait for me. He was the first person to speak to me after I preached, and he would rip my sermon to bits. And I used to go, well, first of all, it hurt quite a bit. I used to feel a bit kind of beaten up and battered. And then I used to think to myself, well, I just have to get over him, and then everyone else will tell me nice things. And then one day my sister stepped in because she saw this, and she came to see me preach or listen to me preach, and she saw this, and she walked over to him afterwards and she went, can I ask you, she said, when you got a degree in theology? And he said, well, I haven't got a degree in theology. No, I have, and nothing Paul said was wrong. So why did you just take him to bits? Well, he needs to learn, and he needs to know that the older ones know more about things than he does. I won't tell you what Sarah did next. But she's also a teacher and decided that she was going to tell him exactly what she thought. But the point is that it's very difficult. What does Paul say to Timothy? Let no man disregard you for your youth. My second church, Rachel and I are the youngest people in the congregation, other than Naomi and Hannah, by about 20 years, maybe 30. No, you're our second church. Don't worry about that. We're about 20 years. Everyone else is considerably older than us. Most of the people in the congregation are in their late 60s. To late 80s, early 90s. The youth group is literally running the service. The youth group is running the church, as it were. And there was a great challenge there. And there were people there who could not take the fact that I was younger than them. I was not just old enough to be their son, I was old enough to be their grandson. And one of them, their great-grandson. But the lady who was the lady old enough to be my great-grandson, my great-grandmother, sorry, was the one who had the most grace. And the one who said, that was really important, that was really interesting, that was really, and built me up and encouraged me and was prepared to sit at my feet. Because she understood that it's not about me stood up here, and it won't be about Pete next week or Derek or Daniel. It's not about those people. It's about being prepared to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say through the person he's chosen to speak through that day. So my challenge to us then is to make sure that we humble ourselves enough to receive, to not think that we know it. Now, you might have a degree in theology. Good. You might have lots of experience preaching. That's great. You might have loads of experience in how to do carpentry or whatever. But actually, just be prepared to learn. and humble yourself, and you'll be amazed. Whatever it is, part of our journey with Christ is humbling ourselves before Him. And it's really important, because Jesus emphasizes it when He washes Peter's feet. I think I said this last week, but obviously God wants me to say it again. When He washes Peter's feet, Peter says, "I don't want you to wash my feet. I should wash yours. If you won't let me do this for you, you can have none of me. If you won't let me do something as simple as wash your feet, you'll never accept me dying on a cross for you." These two passages are part of the same coin. It's good to serve. It's good to humble yourself and serve as a result of your humbling. Humility. Not humiliation, your humility. It's good to serve out of that, because you've accepted what Christ has done for you, which is to die on a cross for our sins and be raised to life so that we can be free. Amen. We're going to stand.